Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
It's so good to be here with you all and see you all at this service together. We've got an amazing kids team that are along in the social club just now, and week after week they just do an absolutely incredible job with all of our kids right from zero all the way up to 12. So praise God for them and keep praying for them and for all that they're doing along there. So I'm thankful for them this morning so that I can be here with you all today. So let's pray together before we open God's word. God, we thank you for today. God, thank you for this time where we can come and hear your word, God, where we can be encouraged and inspired and challenged. God, I pray that you would speak this morning. God, I pray that you would still the hearts in this room, God, and that you would speak to us afresh today. Father, we just pray that you would have all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I don't know if you've ever had to wait on something. So, waiting is never normally a fun task from what I've experienced or what I've heard from other people. And I'm generally a really laid-back person. I'm quite laid-back. I don't really get easily stressed about things. But there's one thing that is a massive, massive bugbear of mine, shall we say, and it's traffic. It's traffic. And I don't know if anybody else can relate to that with me, but it is one that I definitely need extra patience for. And I think it's that, like, why am I having to drive at 5 miles an hour when I could drive faster and I'd already be there? So I think it's that kind of waiting thing. Or maybe it's queuing in a shop or waiting for an appointment, waiting for test results, or maybe for us, it's waiting for a new church building. That has been an ongoing thing for us. So we all experience some sense of waiting in our lives at some point. And whether it's kind of trivial daily things that we've mentioned or bigger things, dreams fulfilled, promises to come, all these kind of things as well. And I've always found the concept of God's timing fascinating and how it kind of comes hand in hand with waiting and how it all knits together in the end. And I love looking back and trying to work out why things happened, why they happened, and getting a glimpse of what God did. And, you know, a part of me, a part of this is probably the control freak in me that thinks, right, okay, I know why you did that, and I've worked it all out, and I can see what you were doing, and I've cracked your code. But actually, you know, maybe it's actually more just that I'm utterly fascinated again and again and again at how he worked it out for my good and for his glory. So then this morning I want to think a wee bit about God's timing in two different ways. So trusting God's timing while he prepares you, while he prepares me, and trusting God's timing while he prepares your moment. So firstly, how can we trust God's timing while he prepares us? So I want to take a really brief snapshot look at the life of Moses. So Moses was called by God to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, and we know that this happened when he was around 80 years of age. So God had done a lot of work in Moses before he could work through Moses for this big promise. So let's read Exodus chapter 3, starting at verse 7. I'm just going to kind of dive in here and then go back a little bit after. So the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. So here we see Moses receiving his task from God of what he has to do, kind of what everything in his life has been building up to. So here God's speaking to him through a burning bush. However, a lot has happened in the run up to this point. He's lived in a palace and been brought up with riches and luxury. He then, you know, humbles himself to leave and serve God, gets himself in a bit of a mess and ends up fleeing to Midian after committing a murder and ending up in the wilderness. So things weren't actually quite going to plan for somebody who's going to be a deliverer. But then, you know, in the wilderness, in Midian, he then lives a lowly and humble life. He looks after sheep as a shepherd. And then in the wilderness, we come to the point in the story that we've just read where God assigns Moses with this task of going back to Egypt to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. And in these verses, we can see a lot of doubt coming through from Moses. You know, is he the one for this? Is he up for this? He needs a lot of encouragement. And in chapter 4, the next chapter on, we see God performing signs to encourage him that he does have what it takes to do this job. So what a story, you know, to come from how he arrived at the palace to then a life of luxury to service, humility. You know, he's pretty much gone through all. And with this, I'd imagine a lot of pain, loneliness, hurt thrown in there as well. But all to prepare him for this great task that he had ahead of him. And of course, we know that Moses did lead the Israelites out of Egypt through the Red Sea, and many lives were saved because of the years of preparation that Moses went through, the seasons that he endured, and the moments that he faced along the way. So if you're in a season where you are having to really endure something, to face hard moments and to trust God's timing, what could he be doing in you to prepare like he prepared Moses? Helping you with humility, like Moses had to tend sheep, revealing himself to you through a burning bush like he did with Moses, or showing you signs to help your unbelief as well, like he does in chapter 4. Or maybe all the while he's given you a helper, an Aaron, for the task to encourage you and help you along the way. And secondly, how can we trust God's timing while he prepares your moment? And I love the story of Esther. So I just wanted to touch again really briefly, just diving into these stories to look a little bit at her life. So if you've not read it or you're familiar with it, it's an amazing story where God lines up a series of events to a moment where the king would recall a decree in which in turn would save God's people. So I'm just going to read just one verse from Esther 4 in verse 14, which you might be familiar with. It says, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." For such a time as this. That's maybe a phrase that, you know, you've heard before quite often. It's, you know, mentioned at lots of women's meetings and conferences and different things like that. And it's such a beautiful phrase, beautiful bit of truth from Scripture that we can take hold of. So Esther was trained in God's word. She was ready to be one of the candidates, if you like, for queen just at the right time. And then she was in her position of royalty for the correct moment as she risked her life, essentially, to approach the king to save her people. And just at the right moment, it happens. Verse 14 tells us that Esther was asked, you know, maybe this is the moment that God has been aligning and preparing all these years right up until this moment. And then that was it. She was ready to go and put into place the plan that God had for her in his perfect time. And in turn, God's people were saved. So when you think about the thing that you're waiting for, and I'm sure as I've been speaking this morning, like there's something that comes to you, that thing that you're waiting for or believing for, you know, it all slotted into place for Esther. What could God be preparing and aligning and setting up and make happen so that it all makes sense? And I guess a good image of this for us could be our new building like we prayed for just in praise and prayer there, and we really are praying and believing for. There are so many specific steps towards this and things that need to happen and fall into place and for it to happen so that one single moment when we put that offer in or however it happens, however God has it, it's just at the right moment and that God's lined up every single thing up until that point. I love the song Waymaker, and the song we sing in church sometimes. We're going to sing it worship at the end to that today, and it's such a powerful song, full of so many amazing declarations. And one line in particular I love is the bit where it says, "Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working." And there's just so much truth in this statement. And I just want to finish with a wee story of an "even when I don't see it, you're working" moment. And it's actually the story of how, I'll just give you a very brief whistle-stop tour of how I came into this role. And some of you might know the story, some of you might not. So in August 2022, I was a full-time primary teacher. I had been for 8 years by that point. And I was looking for a wee change. I'd been teaching down the school and I was looking for a change. I didn't really know what that looked like, but I knew that there was something that I wanted to explore. So a job came up in school for 3 days a week, and I thought, oh, that could be quite good. It could give me a wee bit of experience and to try something different. So this was in the April of 2022, but it was only 3 days a week, so there was that extra 2 days that I was going to have to try and make up. So I spoke to my head teacher and she was really encouraging. She said, "Yeah, go for it, you know, that's fine, and I'll be able to make up the other 2 days, you know, we can find something you'll be able to do." So that was great. I applied for the job, I got an interview, and I was preparing for the interview when 2 weeks later, and nobody really knew, I hadn't really said to many people, a couple of close friends and family, but I had just kind of gone for it, and nobody really knew. And then 2 weeks later, Michael approached me in church and he said, "You know, we've been, senior leadership team have been praying and asking God about the role of children and families pastor, because that was going to be coming vacant in August. And was it something that I would pray about and consider?" So I think, you know, part of me was just in complete shock, but also a sense of kind of peace and excitement and expectation. And I had done children's work for a lot of years. There had also been a couple other times that I had done things with children in a leadership role, and I thought, oh, that, you know, maybe that's something I could think and pray about. But he said to me, "The only thing is, you know, we're looking, it's a 2 day a week paid role, so you would have to go part time at school." So I said, "Oh, well, it's funny you say that, actually, because I've actually got an interview next week for a 3 day a week job at school." So it was one of those moments, you know, Michael and I smiled, you know, at each other and just couldn't really believe at that moment what God had done and how he had prepared that moment. So I gave it 2 weeks to think about it and pray about it. And then, you know, in that 2 weeks, every single day, God confirmed something about this role, and this was taken care of. And then I would think of something else, and then this would be taken. And then I'd think of something else, and then that would be taken care of as well. And then within a month, I had gone part-time at school. I got the job, and I got this job, and it had all worked out. And it really was God aligning things, preparing the moment, when I had absolutely no idea what was going on. I sometimes think, I look back in that. Yeah, absolutely. Amen. And I look back in that and I think about that journey, and I have to remind myself sometimes of how good God was in that and how he had aligned it. And I thought, oh, you know, I was applying for that job and I had absolutely no idea that this is what was happening. You know, even when I didn't see it, didn't feel it, didn't know, God was working. He was preparing that moment in his absolute perfect timing. So I want to encourage you this morning, even if you don't see it right now, he is working. Even if you don't feel it, he absolutely is working. So is he preparing you, like Moses, for something big that he wants to do in your life? Or maybe he's preparing your moment, like he did for Esther and like he did for me 2 years ago, for such a time as this. So either way, let's be people who rest in God's timing, as hard as that can be, in all things and at all times. So let's pray just now before I hand over to Kirsty. Father, we thank you for these great stories in your word. And they're not just stories, God, they're truths of times in history that shaped where we are today, God. And we thank you for the life of Moses, the life of Esther, what we can learn from that, just the small glimpse that we've had into their stories today by what you did. But God, we thank you that you, your timing is always absolutely perfect. God, we thank you that even when we don't see it, you are working. God, we just declare that afresh today. God, I just declare that afresh over every single person in this room. If there's anybody here with weary hearts or heavy hearts, they're in that season. God, I just declare your anointing over them, God. I just declare your fresh promise over them that even when we don't see it, you are working, God. You're so good and your timing is perfect. God, we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Alison. That was so good. And I'm sure, like, as a parent, we're all really happy that you took that step and God was working that all out. So I want to ask a question before I begin. I want to ask, what time is it? What time is it? It's 10:53 on my watch. But what time is it in New Zealand? What time is it in New York? What time is it in Thailand? It's lunchtime here, or almost lunchtime. It's the middle of the night over there. People are waking up over there, and it's dinner time in another part of the world. And I find that quite fascinating, actually. You can have like a world clock on your phone, and I seem to have lots of different places because I just like to know what time it is somewhere else. And as I was thinking, when Alison and I were asked to tag team preach this morning, and we always like to get together and just pray and see if we have any ideas, and we were both thinking about time. And it's so great that God just gives us little ideas that will line up together and hopefully encourage each of us as we encourage you. And in Ecclesiastes 3:11 it says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end." And that verse is an encouragement to us because he has made us in his time, and like Alison has already, you know, spoke about Moses and Esther. And, you know, where we are today has been ordained from the beginning of time. And that concept is, like, really too big for me to even dream about covering in the next few minutes. But I want to look at the story of David and share some different time zones that we might be in, pulling it out of his story. So David's story is mostly one, is one that we mostly all know and be familiar with. And this young kid, he was about 15, was picked to be the future king of Israel. But while he was waiting on all this happening, we didn't send each other like scripts, but we're really on the same page here. But while he was waiting on all this happening, he didn't become the king till he was 30. But there's a lot of challenges in those 15 years until he became the king, and lots of challenges after also. And so the first time zone I want to look at is it's time to prepare. You know, David as a young boy was obviously talented, and you can read that in 1 Samuel, I think chapter 16, where he's first mentioned, and he's talented musically, he's talented physically, but you know, all these attributes that he has, they don't just happen overnight. They took time for him to learn, to be committed to, I just want to look at a verse in 1 Samuel 16:12-13, it says, "So he sent for him and had him brought in, and he was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, 'Rise and anoint him, this is the one.' So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David." So that was when David was anointed as from Samuel as the king. So something I love about David, though, is even though he's anointed as that future king of Israel, he still worked really hard. He had a great work ethic, and he had a calling on his life for something really, really good. And, you know, when he was waiting on that happening, and he was still continuing in his usual work, he was a really hard worker. David had started to work for King Saul as well, but while he was doing that, he would be watching everything that the king would do, so he'd be learning that, but he was also working in the family, on like helping out his dad in the family farm as well. It says in 1 Samuel 17:14, David was the youngest, and the three oldest followed Saul. He had older brothers, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend to his father's sheep in Bethlehem. So we heard how he was a great, hard-working boy. But as part of his day-to-day work, we hear that he put in training and preparation. For in 1 Samuel 17:34, it says, David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by his hair, I struck it and killed it." So not only was he like hardworking and talented musically, physically, he was actually really, really strong and really brave also. And, you know, maybe this morning you're like, what am I preparing for? But I just want to encourage you not to give up. Maybe you know that there's something greater for you today. Maybe you have a calling on your life, and at this moment in time, you can't quite see how that's all going to work out. But keep going, keep learning. And it can sometimes surprise us, like what we're learning just now, how these things are going to help us in the future. You know, David didn't know when he was out in the fields fighting off the animals that he would later come against the giant Goliath. So maybe likewise for us, we have no idea what we're learning and what we're preparing today is going to be used for later on. Or maybe the greatest preparation that we can do today is to store up God's word, meditating on it, like just getting these verses and storing them deep, deep in our hearts. You know, I went through a season of doing that, and then when it came to a really difficult season in my life, I had these words and these verses stored in me that I could pull on to help me when I was going through a big challenge. Now, there's a favourite verse of mine that I heard when I was way back when I was a teenager, and it's found in Joshua 3, verse 5 says, "Consecrate yourself today, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." And what does that really mean? But it's been an encouragement to me to keep myself right with God, to keep seeking holiness in every season, to be aware of the mighty presence of God. And that part tomorrow, is that just now? Is that literally tomorrow? Or is that way into my future? You know, I don't know, but I know that God knows, and I know that he's preparing me and he's working on me, and I'm content to trust him with that. So the second time zone that we might be in is the time to stand up and fight. So if we know about the story of David, we know that he takes on this challenge to fight the big giant Goliath. Further on in chapter 17, it says, "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." You know, even the biggest giant was nothing compared to the greatness of what God can do. So the greatness of God and what he can do. And yesterday, I was just listening to my daily devotions, and I heard Nikki Gumbel say this quote. And it was funny, this was actually the passage that was in that yesterday. And he said that there are two possible attitudes when facing a giant. One is to say, "It's too big, there's nothing I can do." Or the other is to say, "It's so big, I can't miss." And that really encouraged me. I really thought that was a really good way to look at things. So where do we need to stand up this morning? Maybe we need to stand up against a big giant in our life. It could be a giant of fear of us stopping to take the next step. Well, you know, like David, we have to remember where we've been victorious before and use that encouragement to take on the next fight. It could be a giant of a health problem and what we're standing up to just now. But we can also declare, like David, that our God is greater than that. And we know that David picked up those small stones, but those small stones might be the prayers that we keep praying and praying for God to defeat that giant in our life. I love the song that we sing in church at the moment, and it's "Same God." And I just love all the little stories in that, you know, "Oh God, God, we need you." But maybe the giant that we're about to face is something that we haven't been training for. But in that, we can recall on the many victories that we can read about in God's word, or we can hear from our friends when they speak about how they've been victorious. And that same God that's worked in their lives, that's worked in, you know, opening up the seas and all these things that we read about in the Bible, he is the same God that can go with us into our fight. And then another time zone that I want to encourage us to be in is it's time to be you. That goes on in chapter 17, starting at 38, it says, "Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic, and he put a coat of armour on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. 'I cannot go in these,' he said to Saul, 'because I'm not used to them.' So he took them off, and he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 small stones from the stream, put them in a pouch of his shepherd's bag, with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine." So can you relate to this morning? Maybe you've been compared to like your predecessor at work, or an older sibling, or maybe you just feel like you're walking in someone else's shoes and they don't fit. Well, we've all seen pictures of our kids, or our kids have done that. They've put on your high heels and they just can't walk, and it looks so silly. But if you're wearing the wrong shoes, it's really, really uncomfortable as well. Well, we don't have to go another's armour, because remember, we've been preparing, and God's gave us all gifts and different things that we have been preparing for, and we're all uniquely made. You know, comparison is a big tactic that the enemy wants to use against us just now, and you only have to scroll online and it won't be long until something is influenced us to make us a better person. And a lot of it is done with great intentions, and that's what Saul had. He had great intentions by giving his armour to David, but it did not fit David. And we need to be careful what we put on and what we try and fit into. There are many of us walking around in the wrong fit or wearing masks that stop us from being uniquely who we are. But I love the confidence that David had to remove that armor. That must, like, this was a young man, and this was the king. You know, this was the king, and he was like basically saying no to the king. You can only imagine what the people around were thinking, like, wow, that guy's going to get absolutely slaughtered when he goes up with no armor. But David knew, and he could trust in his own confidence. Maybe this morning you just need to trust and be confident in the own skills that you've been given. David wasn't just some little boy taking a chance. He was a really skilled marksman. He had defeated some pretty scary opposition before, and this giant was no match for David. But we also know that he had God on his side. We read earlier that the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. So we knew that God was walking with David. And we also have that amazing privilege this morning to live with the Holy Spirit being our guide and leading us into our battles. And as the band want to come up, and we'll just get them, just come to a close with this. The last time zone is, it's time to win. And how did David win? Well, we'll read here. Starting at verse 45, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. The day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him, and reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. You know, he was prepared. He stood up because he knew where his ultimate victory would come from. And he acknowledges God and how he helped him with the lions and the bears. And then he knew he could count on his Heavenly Father to help him to defeat this giant too. And I love that story in the Bible. It's the ultimate story of good over evil, of underdogs winning. And you can almost imagine it as like a blockbuster movie. But it's so much more than that. This story encourages us all today, still thousands of years on. It encourages us to take that shot, to use all the preparation that we put in, to use all our passions, all our giftings, and to make that winning move. It also reminds us, most importantly, that our victory comes from God, and we can go with his power, and he is the one who ordains the victory. And maybe this morning you don't feel like a winner today. But there is one who has won on our behalf, and his name is Jesus. And David can be sometimes referred to as a type of Christ, or his story can be a foretelling of Jesus. And there are parallels in David's story to Jesus. You know, they both wouldn't have been the first guy to be picked to become king. But although David became king only for a season and defeated Goliath, Jesus defeated death itself, the biggest giant, and he's now our forever King of Kings. So today it's time for you to set your heart after God, just like David did, to seek him first and let him lead you in all that you do. Let him lead you into the victory in this moment of time and for the rest of your life. God, I thank you today that no matter what time it is for us, you are in it all. I thank you that you are in every season of our lives today. And I thank you that you lead us and you guide us. And we thank you today that we can go with your Holy Spirit leading us. We thank you that Jesus is the ultimate winner for us today. And Lord, I pray over anyone here this morning feeling discouraged, because they're not where they want to be. God, I ask that you will just comfort them and you will help them to realize that the work and the plans that they are doing today can be the things that they can pull out in their future and help them win. I pray for those standing up against major giants just now, and I thank you that you go with them. I thank you go with me. I thank you that you go with all of us and you provide us all that we need to face giants. And with you on our side, we can claim the ultimate victory. Help us all to be the person you've called us to be, to the person you've anointed us to be. May we never try to be someone else or try and fit into someone else's armour. You've created us uniquely. You've called us uniquely, and help us when we feel insecure in our identities, God. Help us all to take this word right into our heart, Lord, and apply it to our lives today. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.